right. All right, we're going to try this again. How's the sound now? Everybody's good? All right. Sorry, so sorry for the delay. We haven't done live in a little while, and we was having problems. It was the phones, so we had to go to the iPad. That just means that Pastor Nikki has to update my phone. It's time for an upgrade. But we'll go ahead and get back started. I'll start back from the beginning. We're on our Torah teachings, and it's understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. And we're on week 22 and 23. It's a double portion tonight. And it's Vayakel. And in Hebrew, that is for and he assembled. And Pe Kudi, and that's Hebrew for amounts of. In the Torah, the Exodus is chapter 35, verse 1 through 40. 1 through chapter 40, verse 38. And the half Torah is 1 Kings 7. 51 through 8, 21. And this Torah portion ends the Exodus account. And the topics in this week's Torah is Exodus 35. It's focused on a unified Israel giving offerings for the Mishkan, offerings for the tabernacle, with a willing heart. And that's what Yah wants when we give. He wants us to give willingly. He don't want it to be a burden. He wants it from a willing heart. And it's just amazing to see when his people is unified, when they come together to get something done, it's powerful. And you can get a lot happen. You can get a lot accomplished when his people comes together in unity. And Exodus 36 is Bezalel and Oholiab is introduced as wise-hearted men. In Exodus 37 is the most holy and holy place described. Exodus 38 is the outer court described. In Exodus 39 is the priestly garment described. In Exodus 40 is the tabernacle set up, priests anointed, and the Shekinah glory fills the tabernacle. So we have six chapters that we're going to cover tonight, and well, not tonight, but three tonight and three tomorrow, hopefully. And in the, I sure so wish that we had the projector, but y'all really wouldn't be able to see it. But in the parties, we got the Peshat, which is the literal meaning. Which is literal, the plain meaning is Israel assembled in unity with willing hearts to give all for the temple. And in the Remez, which is just beyond the literal, we see God's character. His selflessly gives all, seen in the tent of meeting. In the hidden glimpses of Messiah is the Word became flesh and gave all as an example. The application for us today is that we must be willing to give all. And that's what he doesn't want part of us. When we give, he wants us to give our all to him. Why? Because he gave his all to us. Faithfully he gave his all to us. And in the Drash, we see enlarged letters and anomalies. And the Drash is to seek a deeper by comparison, and the symbolism is Bezalel, and the Hebrew word, when you spell it out, is the bet, the zadik, the lamet, the olive, and the lamet, and that equals 153. And we'll see that you can tie that into the 153 fish that they had caught in John 20-something-4. I can't even really see it. It's real small. and then the Gematria and the Torah code. And then Dead Sea Scrolls references the half Torah is 1 Kings 7, 40 through 8, 21. Moses assembles the people of Israel and reiterates to them the commandment to observe the Shabbat. He then conveys Yah's instructions regarding the making of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. The people donate with unified, willing hearts the required materials in bringing gold, silver, and copper, blue, purple, and red dye, wool, goat's hair, spun linen, animal skins, wood, olive oil, herbs, and precious stones. So giving were their willing hearts that Yah mentions it four times like a proud father, and Moses has to tell them to stop giving. A team of wise-hearted artisans make the Mishkan and its furnishings as detailed in the previous Torah readings of the Terumah, Tetzavah, and Ketesah. Three layers of roof coverings, 48 gold-plated well panels, and 100 silver foundation sockets. The veil that separates between the sanctuary's two chambers and the screen that fronts it, the ark and its cover with the cherubim, the table and its showbread, the seven-branch menorah with this specifically prepared oil, the golden altar and the incense burned on it, the anointing oil, the outdoor altar for burnt offerings and all its implements, the hangings, posts and foundations, sockets for the courtyard, and the basin and its pedestal made out of copper mirrors. An accounting is made of the gold, silver, and copper donated by the people for the making of the Mishkan. Bezalel, the son of Ur, name means under the shadow of Elohim, son of my light, of the tribe of Judah. The grandson of Miriam, the sister of Moses, and Oholiab, the son of Ashmach, of the tribe of Dan, and their assistants make the eight priestly garments, the ephod breastplate, the cloak, the crown, the turban, the tunic, the sash, and the breeches. According to the specifications communicated to Moses in the Porsha of Tetzavah, the Talmud in Sanhedrin 696 says that Bezalel was only 13 years old when God imputed him with wisdom of heart as an artisan for the tabernacle. Think about that. 13 years old. When the Mishkan is completed, when the tabernacle is completed, all its components are brought to Moses, who erects it and anoints it with the holy anointing oil and initiates Aaron and his four sons into the priesthood. A cloud appears over the Mishkan, signifying the divine presence that has come to dwell within it. That's a lot of stuff that has to take place. And you see why it takes a unity. You see why it takes a coming together in order to get this accomplished. Because this is no small task. But when Yah establishes it, but when Yah puts it together, and the people has the same heart and same mind, that's what you can get done. That's the things that can happen. So right off the bat, in Exodus 35:1, the Sabbath regulations, and Moshe assembled all the congregation of the children of Israel and said to them, "These are the words which Yah has commanded you to do." Now think about this. Moses assembled all the congregation. This was a lot of people. A lot of people. And sometimes we struggle assembling small congregations. Why? Because we got to get that unity down pat. We got to be unified. Exodus 35:2, work is done for 6 days, but on the seventh day it shall be set apart to you, a Sabbath of rest to Yah. Anyone doing work on it is put to death. Do not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Now notice, Yah is instructing Moses to build this tabernacle because he wants to dwell with them in this tabernacle. But notice that this tabernacle does not take priority over the Shabbat. That's so powerful that even though Yah is telling them to do this, to build this, to work, but he straight off the back, he's telling them, but not on the Sabbath. Think about that. Not even building the tabernacle was priority over the Sabbath. So something to think about. And how do we know that we are his people? How do we know we have that ring? In Exodus 20:11-12, he said, and I gave them my laws and showed them my right rulings, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, to know that I am Yah who sets them apart. Exodus 20:19-20. I am Yah your Elohim. Walk in my laws, guard my right rulings, and do them, and set apart my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign between me and you to know that I am Yah your Elohim. The tabernacle itself, as well as each element in the tabernacle compound, are spiritually symbolic and carry important significance for believers today. The tabernacle helps us better see and understand the pattern of worship Yahweh sets forth for us to approach him. What he says? The tabernacle helps us better see and understand the pattern of worship Yahweh has set forth for us to approach him. Can we approach him any kind of way? Of course not. In Hebrew, tabernacle is Mishkan, and it means dwelling place. The tabernacle was the place of Yah's presence, his meeting place with man. The layout of the tabernacle and its courtyard, outer court, illustrates Yah's presence and his prescribed manner in which man can approach him. Just as there was only one tabernacle and one way to approach Yah in the wilderness, there is only one way to approach Yah now, and that is through his son, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for Yeshua. The only way to approach him now. There's not many ways to approach him. There's only one way. And the tabernacle, it represents Yeshua as you're going through. And hopefully I can explain that tonight as we go along in this teaching. Exodus 35:4, contributions for the tabernacle. And Moshe spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the word which Yah commanded, saying, verse 35, take from among you a contribution to Yah, everyone whose heart so moves him. Let him bring it as a contribution to Yah, gold and silver and bronze. And I highlighted that. It says, everyone whose heart so moves him. Bring your contribution. 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not of grief or of necessity, for Elohim loves a joyous giver. How are we to give? With a joyous heart, willingly, willingly and joyful giving, not with grief, not with necessity, but just to freely give to his tabernacle. Exodus 35:6, in blue and purple and scarlet material, fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, fine leather and acacia wood. And all for the light, and spices for the anointing all, and for the sweet incense, and shoham stones, and stones to be set in the shoulder garment and in the breastplate. And let all the wise-hearted among you come and make all that Yah has commanded. The dwelling place, its tent and its covering, verse 11, its hooks and its boards, its bars, its columns and its sockets, the ark and its poles, the lid of atonement, and the veil of the covering, the table and its poles and all its utensils, and the showbread, and the lampstand for the light, and its utensils and its lamps, and all for the light, and the incense slaughter place, and its poles, and the anointing all, and the sweet incense, and the covering for the door at the entrance of the dwelling place. The slaughter place, verse 16, the slaughter place of ascending offering, with its bronze grating, its poles, and all its utensils, the basin, and its stand. So Yah is just giving this layout of what he wants and how he wants it done. Of all it takes, all the material. This is the material list right here. This is what he's given, the material list. The screens of the courtyard, its columns and their sockets, and the covering for the gate of the courtyard. Verse 18, the pegs of the dwelling place and the pegs of the courtyard and their cords, the woven garments to do service in the set-apart place, the set-apart garments for Aharon the priest, and the garments of his sons to serve as priests. And all the congregation of the children of Israel withdrew from the presence of Moshe, meaning they went back. They went back to their homes, to their places, to start gathering all this material that Yah told Moshe to tell them. So they withdrew from the presence of Moshe, and they went home and started gathering all this stuff. And everyone whose heart lifted him up and everyone whose spirit moved him came, and they brought the contribution to Yah for the work of the tent of appointment and for all its service and for the set-apart garments. Verse 22, Exodus 35. And they came, both men and women, all whose hearts moved them, and brought earrings and nose rings and necklaces, all golden goods, even everyone who made a wave offering of gold to Yah. Notice it just wasn't the men, it just wasn't the women, it was both of them. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skin dyed red, and fine leather brought them. Everyone who would make a contribution to Yah of silver or bronze brought it, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the wise-hearted women spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun, the blue and the purple, the scarlet material, and the fine linen. And notice, he didn't say just bring all gold. He said bring gold, silver, and bronze. Some might not have gold. Some might not have silver. Bring the bronze. Verse 26, and all the women whose heart lifted them up in wisdom spun the goat's hair, and the rulers brought Shoham stones and the stones to be set in the shoulder garment and in the breastplate, and the spices and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a voluntary offering to Yah, all the men and women whose hearts moved them to bring all kinds of work, which Yah by the hand of Moshe had commanded to be done. We must understand that these contributions were not the tithes that people were commanded to bring, but were rather that which was to be given over and above the tithes, and they were to be given voluntarily and generously from the heart. When one gives willingly from the heart, there is a joy and excitement of being a contributor contributing member of that which is being built up for the whole. And it does, that's such a true statement. When you give with a joyful heart, and it does something to you. It brings an excitement that you're able to contribute as a member of something that needs to be done, of something that needs to be built, or if it's something that helping out a family, and you can give, it brings great joy to your life. It really, really does. Giving with generosity from the heart does not seek something in return. Think about that. You know, don't give and expect something in return. When you give, you don't expect nothing in return. You're blessing someone. Nor does it lay claim to having a say over what happens. That's another thing. You know, you don't give and say, hey, I want to give this, but let it be for, I don't know, some type of paint, I guess, anything. You know, just don't say, this. I'm giving this, but I want it to go to this. No. Give and having a say over what happens with what has been given. In fact, this is how tithes are also to be given too. Although they are commanded, it must be done cheerfully. Just give and say, here, I'm giving this. Go where it needs to be. Put it where it needs to be. Don't have a say in where it should go or where you think it should go. Construction of the tabernacle, Exodus 35:30. And Moshe said to the children of Israel, see, Yah has called by the name Bezalel, son of the son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehudah, Uri, son of Hur. And Hur is the guy, one of the guys who, when they was fighting the Amaleks, that when Moshe's hand got tired, he was one of them that held them up. Exodus 35:31. And he has filled him with the spirit of Elohim and wisdom. Remember, since he was 13. In understanding and in knowledge and in all work, to make designs to work in gold and in silver and in bronze. What a skill to have. And in cutting of stones for setting, and in carving wood, and to work in all workmanship of design. So this guy here, he was good at what he done. He was very good. And he has put in his heart the ability, not only did he give him the know-how and the wisdom and the knowledge to do these things, he also gave him the heart and the ability to teach. In him, and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them with skill to do all work of the engraver and the designer and embroider in blue and in purple and scarlet material and in fine linen, and a weaver doing any work and makers of design. And listen, don't think, and maybe tonight I'll go and put this in, but there's such significance to the colors, to the blue, to the purple, to the scarlet. All those is not just, you know, why did y'all pick those colors? There's a reason behind all those colors. It's not just, you know, just because that's the colors he wanted. There's great depth behind those colors. And Bezalel and Oholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom Yah, Exodus 36:1, and every wise-hearted man in whom Yah has given wisdom and understanding to know how to do all work for the service of the set-apart place shall do according to all that Yah has commanded. Notice how they didn't build it to what they thought it needed, how it needed to be built. It says they did it according to all that Yah has commanded. That's you talking about application for our life? This is application for our life. To do all that Yah has commanded us to do. Verse 2, chapter 36, verse 2. And Moshe called Bezalel and Oholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart Yah had given wisdom, everyone whose heart lifted him up to come and to do the work. And they received from Moshe all the contribution which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the set-apart place. But they still brought to him voluntary offerings every morning. You're talking about giving with a willing heart. After they had done received all the contributions, they were still voluntary bringing offerings every morning. Verse 4, so all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the set-apart place came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moshe, saying, the people bringing much more than enough for the service of the work which Yah commanded us to do. Then Moshe commanded that they sent this word throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work. For the contribution of the set-apart place and the people were withheld from bringing. For what they had was enough for all the work to be done. More than enough. Wow. Think about that. Huh? Just think if we can get that around here to where we can tell people, no, that's enough. Stop. We got more than enough. But listen, this was right after Yom Kippur. This was right after the building of the calf, and they know that when your sins are forgiven, when Yah asks you to do something, you do it 10 times more to where he's got to tell you, whoa, that's enough. Stop, stop, stop. That's the mindset we got to get in as believers, because the price he paid for us, the price that was paid for us, that's the kind of mindset we should be in. To where we just give, and do, and do, and do. You come here to cut the grass or the weed eat, and it's already done. Wow. You come here the next week to do it, it's already done. Or you come here to clean, it's already done. Over and over and over. Why? Because that's how much you appreciate what was done for you. Verse 8, then all the wise-hearted ones among them who worked on the dwelling place made 10 curtains woven of fine linen and blue and purple scarlet material. They made them with the cherubim, the work of a skilled workman. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, all the curtains having one measure. And he joined 5 curtains, one to another, and the other 5 curtains he joined one to another. And he made loops of blue on the edge of the end curtain of one set, the same he did on the edge of the end curtain of the other set. He made loops of blue. 50 loops he made on one curtain, and 50 loops he made on the edge of the end curtain of the second set. The loops held one curtain to another. And he made 50 hooks of gold and joined the curtains to each other with the hooks, and the dwelling place became one. And he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the dwelling place. He made 11 curtains. The length of each curtain was 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, the 11 curtains having one measure. And he joined 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops on the edge of the end curtain in one set, and 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain of the second set. Verse 18, and he made 50 bronze hooks to join the tent to be one. And he made a covering for the tent of ram skin dyed red, and a covering of fine leather above that. And for the dwelling place, he made boards of acacia wood standing up. The length of each board was 10 cubits, and the width of each board a cubit and a half. Each board had two tenons for binding one to another. So he did to all the boards of the dwelling place. And he made boards for the dwelling place, 20 boards for the south side. And he made 40 sockets of silver to go under the 20 boards, and two sockets under each of the boards for its two tenons. And for the other side of the dwelling place, for the north side, he made 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, two sockets under the one board and two sockets under the other board. And he made six boards for the west side of the dwelling place, and he made two boards for the two back corners of the dwelling place. Notice all this stuff that they're making and that they're putting together. This is no small task. That's why they had to be unified. That's why they had to come together. That's why they had to have a willing heart in order to make this happen. In verse 29, and they were double beneath and similar. They were complete to the top by one ring. So he did to both of them for the two corners. And there were eight boards and their silver sockets, 16 sockets, two sockets under each of the boards. And he made bars of acacia wood, five for the boards on one side of the dwelling place, and five bars for the boards on the other side of the dwelling place, and five bars for the boards of the dwelling place at the rear westward. Verse 33, and he made the middle bar to pass through the boards from one end to the other. And he overlaid the boards with gold, and their rings he made of gold to be holders for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine worked linen. It was made with cherubim, the work of a skilled workman. And he made four columns of acacia wood for it, and overlaid them with gold, with their hooks of gold. And he cast four sockets of silver for them. And he made a covering for the tent door of blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine woven linen made by a weaver, and its five columns with their hooks. And he overlaid their tops and their rings with gold, but their five sockets were of bronze. And I have a slide here showing the Ark of the Covenant, because it's about to. They just formed the outside. They just made the tabernacle. Now they're starting to work from the inside. They're starting to put the Ark of the Covenant and everything in the inside. So making the Ark, Exodus 37:1. And notice what it took to make this tabernacle. Listen, you think Yah don't know what he's doing? Because look, this is the place where his glory is about to come down in this place. It couldn't just be no flimsy tent that they put together. This thing had to be well made. And Yah don't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. When he puts something together, it's forever. It's sturdy, it's solid, just like his word. He put this together, and it is solid. This is solid. This is very, very sturdy. You can go through life, and you go through it by according to his instructions and his laws, and we can be very successful, and powerful people. Making the Ark, Exodus 37:1. And Bezalel made the Ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, and a cubic and a half wide, and a cubic and a half high. And he overlaid it with clean gold inside and outside, and made a molding of gold all around it. And he cast four rings of gold for it, for its 4 feet, two rings on its one side and two rings on its other side. And he made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. And he put the poles into the rings at the sides of the ark to lift the ark so they can carry it when they had to move. And he made a lid of atonement of clean gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And he made 2 cherubim of beaten gold. He made them from the 2 ends of the lid of atonement. Verse 8, 1 cherub at 1 end on this side, and the other cherub at the other end on that side. He made the cherubim from the lid of atonement from the 2 ends. And the cherubim spread out their wings above and covered the lid of atonement. The cherubim, I'm saying the wrong thing. The cherub out their wings above and covered the lid of atonement with their wings, with their faces toward each other. The faces of the cherubim were turned toward the lid of atonement. And that was the ark. Now I have another slide. It's the table of showbread and what it's all made of. And the 12 loaves of bread that's on it, which represents the 12 tribes. The making the table, Exodus 37:10. And he made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and 1 cubit high, and 1.5 cubits high. And he overlaid it with clean gold and made a molding of gold all around it. And he made a rim of hand breadth all around it, and made a molding of gold for the rim all around it. And on this slide, you can actually see what it's talking about with the molding of gold and the rim all around it. And he cast 4 rings of gold for it and put the rings on the 4 corners that were at its 4 legs. The rings were next to the rim as holders for the poles to lift the table. And he made the poles of acacia wood to lift the table and overlaid them with gold. And he made the utensils which were on the table, its dishes and its cups, and its bowls and its jars for pouring of clean gold. Now is the golden candlestick. Making the lampstand. Verse 17, and he made the lampstand of clean gold. He made the lampstand of beaten work, its base and its shaft, its cups and its ornamental knobs, and its blossoms were from it. And you can see all this on that slide on that of the lampstand that was made. You can see the ornamental knobs and the blossoms that all on it, and its shaft and its cups. And 6 branches came out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. And notice how he's working. He started in the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant, and now he's working his way out. Because remember, the tabernacle is built to where their backs are facing the east, and it's to the west, because the pagan is the sun worship. It's the rising of the sun. So he's got their backs, so they're building it, and they're working their way backwards, never turning towards the pagan sun worship, always keeping their backs to the east. And 6 branches came out of his sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Verse 19, there were 3 cups like almond, flowers on 1 branch with ornamental knob and blossom, and 3 cups like almond flowers on the other branch, a knob and a blossom. So far, the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand were 4 cups like almond flowers, its knobs and blossoms, and a knob under the first 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the second 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the third 2 branches of the same, for the 6 branches coming out of it. Their knobs and their branches were of it. All of it was 1 beaten work of clean gold. And they saying that this gold was, I forgot how many pounds it was, but it was like in today's dollars, it would be over $1 million just for this lampstand. And it made its 7 lamps and its snuffers and its trays of clean gold. He made it of 1 talent of clean gold and all its utensils. And now we had the golden altar of incense, making the altar of incense. And he made the incense slaughter place of acacia wood, a cubit long and a cubit wide, square, and 2 cubits high. Its horns were of it. Because as they building and coming out, it was the lampstand on one side and the showbread on right across from each other. And now he's backing out, and right in front of that is the altar of incense. And he made the incense slaughter place of acacia wood, a cubit long and a cubit wide, square, and 2 cubits high. Its horns were of it. And he overlaid it with clean gold, its top and its sides all around, and its horns. And he made a molding for it of gold all around it. And he made 2 rings of gold for it under its molding, and its 2 corners on both sides as holders for the poles with which to lift it. Notice, everything has a handle on it, because when it was time to move, they had to break the tent tabernacle down, and they would move to the next destination, next spot, next location. So they had to carry this stuff. That's why everything was made with acacia wood with to where they can carry it. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. And he made the set apart anointing all and the clean incense of sweet spices according to the work of the perfumer. And this is where we're going to stop at, on the brazen altar, because the brazen altar gets into Exodus 38, which will be our next chapter that we start, 38, 39, and 40 in the morning. But notice how everything, there was a lot. There's a lot of stuff that they had to bring to make all this, not just the tabernacle itself, but all the things that's in the inside of it. All these people had to, the people had to give this willingly, and they gave it willingly. They gave it with a cheerful heart. But this is a lot of in detailed instructions to follow. You're talking about putting something together. When he says to build something, he builds it to the T. He builds it perfect. It's perfect. So we'll stop right here, and we'll pick up on the brazen altar tomorrow in the morning. So I just want to tell y'all I appreciate everyone for coming on and bear with us with the technical difficulties. It never fails. It's always a challenge sometimes when we think things are going to go right and they don't, but we have to be okay with it. And I just want to thank him for the miracles that he has started to perform in the bodies of those that has been sick. And he's not finished. He's not finished yet. And we're going to continue to pray for those that are sick, continue to pray for those that are in the hospital, because he is a way maker and a miracle worker. And we're gonna see them whole again, healthy again, and we're gonna see everyone back in this sanctuary that we have here. We love and miss everyone, but don't say like my dad. Keep the victory, keep the victory. We're gonna be better when we come out of this. Amen. He's so good to us. So Shabbat Shalom, and I'll see y'all in the morning. Thank you.